You would remain standing and open up your Bibles, Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, verses 9 to 24 today. This is found on page 1486. The very last verse there is our first verse, and then we'll finish up 18 on page 1487. People of God, hear the word of the Lord. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas! Alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like unto this great city?' And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her.' And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all.' And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorcery were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." Thus is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. We have looked at this great whore of Babylon, which we have acknowledged to be sitting upon the beast, that beast being the seat of the Antichrist, a whore, because what one time in covenant with God and now apostate, a whoring. And now we see the destruction of Babylon, the destruction of the entire seat and the whore together. And so remember that we've identified the seat to have to consist of two distinct things, both Rome, as it is the city upon the seven hills and the great city, and even called Babylon by Peter and others throughout the scriptures. You can see that Rome was both ecclesiastical, as it was a bishopric, and physical, as that which is supporting the bishopric itself. And so you have ecclesiastical and civil. And that is the seat of the Antichrist. That is the seat of the whore who has covenanted with God but is now a church apostate. And so you have here the final telling of the destruction of Babylon. And Babylon here must not only be Rome physical, but also Rome ecclesiastical as well. And so as it gives these three pictures, kings, merchants, and like trade farers, shipmen, these three categories of connection to Rome, we must consider it both in the ecclesiastical and the physical sphere as well, as there is a destruction of both. Because you can't get rid of the ecclesiastical unless you get rid of the physical. And so here is how it ought to be understood. Kings is obvious, right? Because we see in history the kings that would ally itself with the papacy, and so you know the kings which in a physical sense even set up the very papal states which existed until 1850, and even now since 1912 there's still a Vatican City within Rome controlled by the papacy, and so they have their quarter mile of Rome even to this day. But even that will be destroyed, and you can think about the grandeur and the beauty, St. Peter's Basilica and all this beautiful Renaissance artwork. You can think about how if that was destroyed during World War II, we would all cry, right? Oh, so the beautiful artwork of these Renaissance men. Yeah, we would all cry. Well, that's going to happen one day, and people will be crying. But more so is the ecclesiastical end. The kings, of course, would be those who set themselves up as kings, even underneath the papacy, ruling the great regions of their universal church. So you can see how it applies to both, and therefore it's symbolic. The same is true for merchants. Remember, there's a huge, if you don't believe me, you can Google this, there's a huge merchant for all of the Roman churches all throughout the world. They got to sell the vestments, they got to sell the censers, they got to sell everything, and indulgences, right? The indulgences haven't gone away. They no longer require money, but there's different types of indulgences today that are non-monetary, which are still sold to souls. And you can see right away that this is meant to be symbolic by the fact that in the listing of all these physical things, what's the last thing? The souls of men, right? You can see the connection there, that this is meant to be symbolic because of that reason. And so you got merchants ecclesiastical, selling the ecclesiastical things, the indulgences, the free souls from purgatory, and all these other things. And then you got the physical things as well. The Vatican City is an amazing tourist attraction, and Rome itself as well. And it here, of course, has a big merchantile business which must be destroyed. And finally, the shipfarer, the tradesmen, they're the lower below the kings, right, in the ecclesiastical structure. They're the ones selling to the people. Here's your indulgence. Here's your Hail Marys. Here's that. And they're selling those things as like seafarers, missionaries going out, cloisters, nuns, and which are in their Roman schools. And you have the priests which are teaching as well. They're being like seafarers, tradesmen, which are taking the things that are produced from the higher places and selling them to the common people. And of course in Rome, physical, you have the same exact thing. We have it to be in the center of culture. By the world, consider one of the greatest city of antiquity and of modernity. I've read an article on that as well. And so you have all types of things being sold in the classical studies and other such things for the physical place of Rome as well. And so it all comes together. All of that's going to be destroyed. And it's going to be sudden. 1 hour standing for the suddenness of its destruction. And it's coming here as that sixth vial is being poured out. This is the beginning of that sixth vial and the end of the fifth. You see the destruction of the seat in the fifth vial being poured out. And the sixth sees its complete destruction and termination. And we're going to see that in 19. Okay, we'll see that in 19. So we'll look at the next chapter and start to look at that sixth vial. Just remember that 18 is the end of the fifth and beginning into the sixth as well. Okay, so much for Revelation.